Hello and welcome to an interview with David Nino Rodriguez. I'm very pleased to have you here. It's great honor to talk to you. And just for those who aren't familiar with you, you were once in the top 10 in the world and you're a heavyweight boxer. And you once had a 36-0 record with 34 by knockout, which is very impressive. I mean, I've done boxing for a year. I've never even had a proper fight beyond sparring. So to me, that is quite a feat. And
it was a hell of a ride, I'll tell you that much. It was a crazy roller coaster of a ride the whole career, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, as I understand it, you retired due to an injury, and then you got into, I suppose, what could be regarded as political podcasting. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, well, all that really happened was, and this all happened organically, it happened accidentally, I'll be honest with you. I had my life was only almost taken from me. As you can see, I got knifed here, coming out of a bar, and everything just kind of exploded after that. My whole world, my whole reality just got hit with a nuclear bomb. They didn't take my life, but they took my career, right? I was 36-0 at the time, and had a near-death experience, changed my life completely. I tried to get back into boxing. I got knocked out. At the time, I was 36-0, undefeated prospect. But I felt I was the best in the world. Working my way up through the ranks, I was already in the top 10, won 6 championship belts. I was there, you know, and I just wasn't able to rebound from that from them, you know, slashing my throat. I took 369 stitches, tried to come back, I lost, and then tried to come back again, I lost again, and then I won my very last fight, and when that happened, I had back surgery, so my back went out. Like, I remember I knocked the guy down, and I ran to the neutral corner for the 10 count to start, and before I could even get to the neutral corner, I was like, I knew my career was over, my back just went out. Went into emergency back surgery. I had 2 emergency back surgeries. The last one, first one didn't work. The second one finally kind of worked, you know, but I was never the same after that. That ultimately made me retire. When that happened, I went into a very dark period of my life. That was in 2015. But really the dark period started a couple years before that. I would say like 2011 is when I got my face slit open, and then 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 is when I retired. And then up until about 2021 was really a hard time in my life, like a dark night of the soul. I hit rock bottom, found out rock bottom had a basement. You know, it was a tough time in my life. And nothing was working for me. I had no direction. I always tell people it was like I went from hero to zero. I was Superman with a cape to all of a sudden the guy in a wheelchair or something, like just being spit and kicked on. Like, it was an amazing experience. It was very humbling to see 2 different sides of humanity, to be treated like a superstar, like a god, and then be treated like a nobody. I fell into drinking and drugs. I was constantly at the bars getting drunk. I became the washed up fighter. That's really what happened to me. And, I had no compass. I was just lost in the dark for a very long time. And hopefully some people can relate, because what happened to me was, not only was I having suicidal thoughts those entire 10 years. It was 10 years of darkness. And when I decided to finally quit drinking and pull the reins in, I had to really pray about it and really – I never really gave God a chance. I was always like, yeah, you know, God never helped me. God never did this. I'm like, wait a second. I never really gave God a chance. I cannot really say I quit drinking or I did this and allowed God to work in my life. So I quit drinking. I'm now 3 years, 8 months sober, and my life has completely changed. It's a different life. I never would have thought I would have got into podcasting. That's something I never would have thought I was going to do. But in 2020, when that pandemic hit, and I'll be careful what I say because I'm sure some of this goes on YouTube. I made a video that went viral. And when that happened, that video dealing with trafficking and that and things of that nature, I was talking about, it was very taboo. Nobody even talked about it then. It was a lot about what Isaac Cappy was talking about before me.
I know about that.
And so I discussed it because I have friends in Hollywood, big actors, A-list actors. And I just said, hey, this is happening, you know, and I discussed what was happening. And I said it, and it just, the whole internet blew up on that video. And it just catapulted me back into the spotlight, but not in the way that I wanted. Like, this was not something I wanted, especially talking about this stuff. And I became that guy for a while. And it hit, it went viral, and it got millions of views. And it scared me because of the topic, because I know I rattled the cages of hell. And I thought, well, they're going to be coming after me now. After that video, I just started doing a lot more interviews. I prayed about it, and I said, okay, do I want to embrace this or run from this? And I had to really pray about it, and I decided to embrace it, and I started going on more podcasts. Next thing you know, I'm learning how to work a computer. I'm learning how to work a microphone. I'm learning everything, just like got thrown in the water, and then it took off from there.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear that things have actually worked out, because to my mind, you had your career robbed from you from something that was completely not your fault. And it's one thing to, you know, make a mistake yourself and face the consequences, but when you can't really blame yourself for what happened to you, that must be all the more true. Difficult, right?
That's not true. I blame myself. No? I'm really? Not a victim. No, I'm not a victim. I was drinking. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I put myself there. That's my fault. If I didn't take responsibility for it, I would not be able to get over it. So I take responsibility for it. I believe this was my higher self, or this was a subconscious decision of mine to sabotage my career. I had a lot of pressure and expectations on me that I just felt like I broke. I mentally broke and spiritually broke, and I shouldn't have been drinking. I shouldn't have been in those places. So no, I take full responsibility for what happened to me.
Okay, I completely understand. In fact, that's rather commendable. And there's one question that I thought would be quite interesting, and you're going to be probably taken a bit aback by it. But so in the 19th century, the Prussian general Karl von Clausewitz once said the iconic phrase, "War is a continuation of policy by other means." Do you find that there are many lessons in boxing that apply quite well to politics and how you understand it? Because I think that actually, although obviously I don't have the boxing experience you do, but there is a lot of psychologizing, philosophy, and sort of strategy in the conflict that could be a good analogy to understanding the world of politics.
Yeah, because I have experience in battle, in war, because boxing is war. It's a high-speed chess match, right? That you pay with either getting knocked out, you can pay with your life, you pay with hurt. And I've been doing it since I was 5 years old. And I was a relentless killer in the boxing ring. There was nobody that was as vicious as I was in the ring. I could think of like Mike Tyson and George Foreman, but I was right up there with them. Like I was a killer. And I learned ways how to beat guys. Like a lot of the secret in boxing is, never let a guy dictate the pace. And I was able to outpace the guys or change the whole. It's like having a dancing partner. Someone's going to lead the dance. You always have to be the one to lead the dance. And people don't understand that. Like when you watch Mayweather fight or fighters like that, he leads the dance. He dictates the pace. That's fighters. Right when I see that happen, right off the get-go, I'm like, oh, they're letting him dictate the pace. So they're going to lose. So when you let another fighter dictate the pace, that's how you lose. All I've done with boxing, and I've just switched arenas. So now I'm now in a, so I look at boxing now as incredible of a sport it was. And for me, I look at it like kids in a sandbox now compared to the war that we're fighting now with the deep state, the global powers that be all trying to push us into this global technocracy of this, and I got to be careful what I say here because I know it's YouTube. So I'm very conscious about that. But where we're headed with these big monster how can I say on YouTube? Like what they're going to be pushing onto us, kind of like what happened in 2020. That was the first, you know, the first big step into this global, everyone getting these. And, you know, yeah, that. And then, and so now we have two other big ones coming, which is going to be the climate change and then the climate change. And that's how they're going to push in this alien threat. I sounds crazy what I'm saying, but it's already being played out right now. They're already getting to play this card, and it's a desperate card. It's a very desperate card, but they're going to play it. You can count. You can guarantee what I'm saying right now. You know, you can mark this video, timestamp it, whatever. They're going to play an alien threat card. And people may look at that and go, that sounds crazy. Did you think 2020 was crazy? This is going to get even crazier. They're desperate. They want world domination. They want everyone to have a digital ID. This is real. I mean, and it goes back to the Bible. You know, the Bible called this a long time ago. I mean, if you just look back and read the Bible, this is coming. We're not escaping this. This is coming. They're going to play certain cards to make sure they see the fruition of their plan. So that is why I'm so invested in this, because I know what's coming. And I talk to certain individuals on my programs that I feel are very credible, that have the foresight, and they're in the battlefront. They're in the war fighting this. Like 107 is one of them, and a lot of people are familiar with him. One of my biggest guests, you know, I got guys from the intelligence agencies, whistleblowers coming out talking on my shows. So I'm in it, and I'm invested in this, and I'm very passionate. So yeah, all I've done is switch arenas. All I've done really is gone from boxing that battlefront to a whole new battlefront, which is world politics. But I, more than that, it's the deep state war.
So you've mentioned something here that I actually wanted to ask you a question about, because I've been really busy recently, and I've not been able to do any proper digging into the congressional hearing on UFOs. And I imagine that you must have some opinions on that. And I'm really interested in this sort of thing. I've done a couple of videos looking into it, and I find it fascinating. But I simply haven't had the time to do the digging yet. So I was wondering what your perspective on it is.
I don't doubt that they're real. You know, I don't doubt that they're where they've come from. Are they fallen angels? Are they interdimensional beings? Are they planetary from another galaxy, solar system? I don't know. I don't know what they are. I know they exist. I'm positive they exist. But why are they just now playing this card? Why are they allowing these people to come forward in the House hearings? I've said they were going to do this for a long time now. There's been CIA whistleblowers years ago play this card. And they have the technology to do so, the reversed engineered technology to come out and play this card. So people are going to see things in the sky that they're going to be like, wow, what is that? Oh my gosh, they're going to see Tic Tacs in the sky. They'll see UFOs or unidentified phenomena, you know, unidentified flying phenomena. But the truth is, we have the technology to pull that card. The government has the technology to do this and fool everybody and then put it on TV with CGI, whatever, however they want to spice it up and make it look extremely real, like we're having wars in the sky or like there's someone coming to take us over. This is an honest to God reality. They're gonna play this card, and it's already happening. It's all over the internet. They're already pushing it. They're herding people into this consciousness. They're conditioning people into this. So it's coming already. It's already here. It's not like we have to wait much longer. It's already here. It's happening now. So climate change, big one. It's like, ooh, wow, aliens, and look what we're doing to the planet. We need to tax you now. We need to punish you for what you're doing to the planet, okay? That's what's going on, and people need to wake up. They don't think it's possible. Look what happened in 2020. No one thought that was possible, and we knew that was coming. You know, the conspiracy guy with the tinfoil hat, start listening to him.
No, I do agree with that. So I saw some people that were saying that the congressional hearings about UFOs were mainly just a distraction mechanism from something insidious going on behind the scenes. It's sort of sensational things that they don't necessarily have any evidence for. And I saw quite a few people in the sort of right-wing sphere that I would normally agree with on things. And I felt like this was perhaps, there might be some element of that, but I don't think it was the main reason. I think what you're trying to say is that they're trying to, by doing this, set up a sort of atmosphere where this sort of narrative of alien invasion is going to be received more positively, maybe, if it's had this sort of background, if you will, in politics, and it's actually a legitimate issue now that people are talking about, then all of a sudden it becomes more legitimate. It's not just a conspiracy theorist thing anymore, it's mainstream politics. Is that more or less how you view it, I suppose?
Well, sir, it's serving two purposes. They're distracting, they're trying to distract from all the Biden corruption that's happening in the States right now, with him taking over $20 million from Burisma and Ukraine. The whole war in Ukraine is a distraction. It's covering up the money laundering. I mean, that's what's going on, really, if you want to know the truth. That's really, so it is a distraction, but they're being pressed. This is a military move. This is a Trump is and always has been a military operation, okay? Trump was invited to run. He didn't just run. He's not just a businessman that just decided one day to run for president. Not how this is working, okay? So he was invited to run, okay? And this is actually an operation. What's happening right now is we are pushing their hand to make these moves, to make these panic moves. So this is a chess move. They're cornered right now. They don't know what to do. And right now, Biden is the rotting corpse or the millstone around the Democrats' neck. They have to keep him. And into going into 2024. Now, what are they going to do? What are they going to do in 2024? They can't keep this guy. So what's going to happen is, if you've noticed, Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, if people are familiar with the politics of the United States, has been successfully removed from the House, Speaker of the House. So that chess move right there, we put in Kevin McCarthy. By putting in Kevin McCarthy in that slot, now they can't fall, but they don't have Pelosi to put in as president anymore. They were planning to do that. They were planning to somehow they were going to maneuver Pelosi. They had Biden, Kamala, and Pelosi. They were going to maneuver Pelosi in there. Kamala she's not a natural born citizen, so there's a lot of problems with that. So now they're stuck. They got Kamala, who's not a natural born, that cannot be president. There'd be too many lawsuits on her if they tried to move her in. And we took away Pelosi. So what's happening in the House and everything that's happening right now is they're going to start playing a Democrat musical chairs. They're going to try to figure out a way to put in Newsom. So that's where they're at right now. They're trying to decide that situation right now. With all that happening on the chessboard where they're stuck, they're like in quicksand. Now they're playing the alien card to distract all of humanity and people watching Fox, people watching CNN. Oh my gosh, UFOs they're here. All of a sudden they're here. You know, all of a sudden they're just showing up. You know, it's just, it's garbage. It's to distract you, but at the same time, they're buying time to figure out how they're going to play this Democrat musical chairs and insert Newsom or whoever they want in the Democratic seat. And it's to take away from the Biden corruption. So it's playing it's multiple levels of chess here.
Mm-hmm. I would be quite surprised if it were Gavin Newsom, because even amongst Democrat voters, he's not necessarily one of the most popular people, because even the Democrats
who says they're going to play fair? Who says they're going to play fair? What they did in 2020, we all know he didn't. And I'm being very careful how I say this on YouTube, but you're telling me Biden? I mean, come on. Everyone knows the guy didn't get there legitimately. You know,
I can't say what I think on YouTube, but I think you understand. But I wanted to pose the question because I've actually done a lot of research into Joe Biden's corruption, largely linked to Hunter. And I did a full timeline of all of the business dealings that Hunter Biden had done in chronological order. And it makes it so much clearer, because one of the problems with the corruption is it's so complicated. There are so many different relationships. There are so many different countries and people involved. But when you can see it linearly, it looks so convincing. So do you think that there's any chance that Biden will ever, Joe Biden that is, ever actually be punished or held accountable for his corruption? Because I'm personally rather cynical of that happening.
I think a lot of people are going to be punished for their corruption. I think a lot of people are going to go down. I think a lot of people are going to be arrested. And I think Trump opened the door for that. So by them putting charges on Trump, That broke the seal. Trump, and if you read, if you watch Trump, I've just said earlier on your quote right here, I said he is an operation. He's a military operation at the highest level. When he comes out and he speaks to people, people need to listen to the comms that he's dropping, okay? He's dropping military comms. When he says, we need to have executions, we need to have executions, public executions. This man says this. Go back and look at it. Trump said he's letting you know, he's letting the deep state know, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. You're going to get punished. So Biden, Hunter, all them, I believe they will be arrested. I believe at some point they will be, but you have to, you cannot arrest anybody for pre-crime. You have to get them for crimes. And what's happening right now is we're watching a big flush out of the government and people exposing themselves. Right now is a mass exposing and a red pill of society. So as people catch up to speed with these House hearings, what happens after that? Once you know there's no justice in the justice system, well, there's no justice in the justice system. The DOJ's compromised. Everyone's compromised. What's after that? Military. Military will take control. That's how this has to go.
Haven't there been efforts from the left and the Democrats to infiltrate the military in certain areas?
Absolutely. And that's why Trump is nuclear and beyond. It's a high strata. Okay. So if you look at the military as a whole, there's going to be a lot of flag officers, a lot of generals that are not going to cooperate. That is why, and with the guests that I talk to, the guests that I have on my show and my program, you have to understand the operation as a whole and how this is going to happen. There are going to be events, there are safeties in place that will switch command over to Cheyenne from SES. And that in itself is a discussion that you have to listen to with some of my guests because they have details and stuff that blow my mind. You know what I mean? But it's very interesting. I mean, the world is changing very fast and we are in a war, but no mistake about it. They are in a fight as well. The deep state is in a fight as well. So and I believe we're going to win this. I do. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm right. I was always right with my boxing career and I feel it and my instincts are good. So yeah, we're going to win this.
So I've encountered increasing number of views from people who previously were quite supportive of Trump saying that although they would obviously much rather he win, they're cynical that he can really drain the swamp, to borrow Trump's phrase, because he failed to do so in his previous term. And I'm not really sure what to make of this view personally. And I was wondering what you thought of it.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's draining the swamp right now. We're exposing them. They're being exposed for every level. Look what's happening right now. Would you, if there were not white hats involved in this mission, if this was not an operation, we would not be getting any kind of leeway in the House right now. There'd be nothing happening. Hillary would have won 2016 very easily. And she would have went on, and a lot of events were supposed to happen while on her watch that would have pushed us into this one world situation. I got to be careful what I say on YouTube, you know.
I appreciate
but
that.
No, he upset the apple cart with Hillary. That was the first big win. You got to look at it like that. We are in the fight now. Now, he put a lot of executive orders in place that called what happened afterwards with Biden. Like the big bank robbery. When I say bank robbery, people usually know what I'm talking about. The bank robbery of 2020. You know, so he put a lot of executive orders in place regarding that. So he knew it was coming. Everything that we're watching right now, he didn't sign the insurrection. So by him not signing the insurrection was basically he thwarted us into a red pill process, because he knew if he signed the Insurrection Act, okay, before January 6th, he knew it would have spinned us into a civil unrest and civil war. Couldn't do that. So he had to pull back. He had generals come in the room that talked to him and said, that not a good idea. Got to let this play out. Look, we know what happened. Just don't sign it. And so he did not. And so now what's happening is a mass exposing. We're getting a taste of our own medicine. The liberals are getting a taste of their medicine on just how bad it be. It's bad. So what's happening now at the House hearings is the vice grips are closing in on these people slowly. And that's why they're pushing the alien card. That's why they're going to push the climate stuff. The vice grips are have in the background. People need to understand. Pay attention to the House hearings because those are going on congressional record. They're going on record. Let me repeat that again. They're going on record, and it's for public opinion. The court of public opinion. It's for you to understand what's going on here so that when it goes into another arena, let's say, I don't know, military, it's a much speedier process because it's already on congressional record. People need to understand the war that's at hand right now and how this is. I'm just explaining to you the chess moves. This is fascinating stuff when you really start paying attention to it. I mean, we are, folks, I believe we're going to pull back the reins in America. We're going to get a foothold there. Now, I don't know about the rest of the world. I just know America's going to get the reins pulled back. I believe, and I'll say this on YouTube this way, that Trump will be before 24 or something's going to happen where the election is fair in some kind of way that he gets either put in before or right at. I had to be careful of how I say it here on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you weren't too sure about the rest of the world, but there's a phrase I'm rather fond of. When America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. That America sets the stage and the tone of world politics because it is the most powerful country in the world. And so part of the reason why we cover lots of American politics, other than a decent number of our audience being American, is that it has such an influence. And so if there's a victory in America, it's going to ripple across the rest of the world. It's going to change world politics. And so it's a very important thing. And I hope that this is something that can happen.
Well, here's the problem. The reason America is so strong is because of the mighty dollar, right? Countries are shifting away from American dollar. Like America is no longer the currency. I mean, you got a lot of people switching into the gold back and BRICS nations and stuff like that. So the dollar is weakening by the minute. So this, I think what's going to happen with Biden is he's going to bring down the whole financial system of America. And then Trump, who's fared very well in bankruptcy, he'll be coming in to fix the problem. But I think Biden is just going to be left in there to messy up the sandbox and destroy the dollar and bring down the system. Because what they want ultimately is the Great Reset. They want the Great Reset and a digital dollar, a social credit scoring system. Basically, you got to have an electric car, an electric stove. You can only go 20 minutes away from home. Oh, your social credit score isn't good. Well, what you get punished for that. You can't fly to another. You can't take a vacation. You know, so that's what they're trying to implement. And then they have to do so first by bringing down the old system. So Biden is doing that right now. He's bringing down the old system. And I think what's going to ultimately happen is the old switcheroo. And I think Trump is going to come in and we're going to bring in a different system. But it's not going to be the Great Reset. It's going to be the Great Weset.
I certainly hope so. I think that Biden's certainly done a lot to damage the U.S. economy. I mean, moving away from fossil fuels for a start, Trump made America fuel self-sufficient. That's massive. Like, I certainly don't know the price of gas in the States, but it was a lot lower under Trump, and people notice this sort of thing. And that kind of leads me on to the next question. There are still lots of people who even now are apolitical. What do you think is the best way to get people to engage in politics, and particularly for our side? Because I know that in Britain, at least, the lockdowns and the arbitrariness of them made lots of people who ordinarily wouldn't really weigh in on politics very vocal. They would be out on the streets demonstrating. And it's brought people into the whole sphere. And now they're talking about all these other issues that they wouldn't have otherwise known about had they not been brought in with a single issue. Is there anything that you can see in the United States that might be a parallel to this? It might well be lockdowns as well, actually.
Well, they're going to definitely try to do the lockdowns again. You know, I've heard by 2025 they're going to try it. I've heard different things. It's rumors to me up until this point. I don't have any validation on that. But obviously they're going to try that again because that's their main objective. And they want to get you more of these. They want everyone to get these. So that and then, you know, as America, like you said, as America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Well, as the dollar crashes, anyone who's depending on the dollar, it's going to get only worse for you guys. So for everyone else. So we're all going to feel it in our pocketbooks. And as that happens, it's, you know, people is when people feel it like personally in their pocketbooks, they can't put food on the table. Well, they become political real fast, don't they? So people are going to have no choice. We're all going to be dealing with this. It's going to be global. So everyone's going to be dealing with this. If they're not already, they're going to be.
So which issues do you think are going to become more and more part of the public consciousness? Because the trafficking stuff and the reaction to the Sound of Freedom film was particularly stark to me. And there were people I know that were apolitical who were just like, wait a minute, this film is about trafficking children. And yet the mainstream media is painting it out like it's some sort of terrible conspiracy theory when we know this is going on. It's, you know, you go back 10, 20 years, no one was disputing that this was happening. Everyone was supposedly saying it was a bad thing, at least publicly. I imagine many politicians privately pretty supportive of it. I'm not sure if I can say that on YouTube either, but that's what I believe. But there are lots of issues like this that were seen as fringe that are now becoming very mainstream. Like the other day, I was walking through the city center here and there were people demonstrating about going cashless and protesting central bank digital currency, which in the UK, our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is actually a big proponent of central bank digital currency. And before he even became Prime Minister, he was pushing to get us to sign up to this. And I very much don't support it. I think it'd be much better if the government had no control over our currency, or at the very least go back to the gold standard. But this current system is absurd, in my opinion. And if they do that, we are going to probably be on the path towards the Chinese social credit system, which, although I think sometimes people misstate exactly what the social credit system is in China, in that it's more of it's not necessarily a centrally controlled thing. It's a city specific thing. So different cities have different rules, which I suppose makes it more complicated and more difficult to combat, because then you have different things to point out. And by making an issue more complicated, it makes it harder to tackle. But on the other as well, it suggests that, well, if it's not being pushed centrally and it's being diffused out in lots of individual instances, what kind of model are we going to see in the West? Is it going to mirror that? Maybe there's going to be an attempt to institute it individually in a state-by-state basis in the United States. It seems like in Britain, at least, it's going to be our central bank, the Bank of England, that's going to be doing it, if at all. What are your thoughts on this?
It's coming. They're already trying to implement the 15-minute cities in America. You know,
they've already done it here in some places.
Yeah. So it is, people need to be ready for this. Yeah. And that's why we have to fight even harder, because once they do this, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And then we're going to be forever in slavery and bondage. I just don't feel like that's the plan God has for humanity. I just don't, you know, they could try all they want. It's just not, that's not in God's hands, God's plans. Like I said, I think we're going to have a foothold in America. We're going to pull the reins in and pull that back.
I do think that America...
What's going to happen to the rest of the world? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just know that I feel like we're going to fight hard and we're going to bring this back in America. But and that's where America, remember, is the domino. When that domino falls, it's over. I think we're going to pull the reins in and get a foothold there. And we're only going to hold this beast off a little longer. And it's probably going to lead to a much bigger war. But I believe that they're probably going to accomplish this in other parts of the world. But that's yet to be seen. I'm not psychic. I'm not making any predictions. I think we all need to wake up that this is happening, and our freedoms are at a price, and people really need to wake up. Oh, well, the problem is just too big. Well, get on a podcast, start talking about it. Do whatever you feel you got to do. If you only just reach one person, that's one person more than you did before, that you reached before. So people really need to make their voices heard. And this type of podcast, this type of material needs to get out there in droves. People need to understand, like, hey, we're all going to be in slavery if we don't stop this. And the way you stop it is by the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening is happening. You know, that, you know, these people, that's what they do. That they steal narratives, they steal organic processes like the Great Awakening, and they grab it, they steal it, and they turn it into the woke movement. They turn it into things like that. That's all evil does. Evil is like AI. It's like artificial intelligence. That's what they really believe evil is, part of it. They don't have the imagination or ingenuity to create their own movement. So they steal ours that happen organically, and then they prepackage it and give it to the public. So to me, I believe that the Great Awakening is still happening, and people need to wake up, stop going back to sleep, you know, and wake up other people, because this is happening. This is a serious problem. And if we don't fight this, it's a wrap. We don't get a second chance at this. It has to happen now.
I think that there's one thing I've noticed both in Britain and America is that there's been a war on rural areas that seem to be the best holdouts, particularly in the States. I think America is the country best suited to resist this sort of thing for many different reasons, like your diffusion of powers is far better. You've got a very armed populace, and so that is pretty good.
Well, that's why they're trying to take our guns.
Yeah, I know.
Take our guns.
You probably haven't heard about this story in Britain. This really took me by surprise, because we've already got very strict gun laws. Although, you know, if you want a gun, you can get one with a license and a pretty long process and background checks and things like that. But 1/3 of all of our gun clubs in Britain had been debanked, as in the banks refused to have a bank account for these gun clubs, 1/3 of them. And all of the banks simultaneously, about 6 of the major banks here, all said, yes, we don't want anything to do with you. And if that doesn't strike me as a concerted effort to undermine people's basic ability to defend themselves, although you don't actually have the legal right to do so with a firearm in Britain for some reason, it seems like there's a very concerted and centralized effort, because all of these things are happening at once. There's these rural communities that are pretty good at preserving people's attitudes and making them resistant to external influence, to ideology, to propaganda, basically, are being fragmented. They're shipping in loads of illegal immigrants into very small towns. They're building housing developments that are twice the size of the small town in the first place against the wishes of the locals. And there seems to be this attempt of deliberately targeting the communities that are most resistant to this sort of thing. And I think that one of the best methods of actually resisting this is pointing out to people, as you said, waking people up. And I think that something that's very important is actually taking control of institutions, getting involved in, say, local politics, so that someone else isn't going to take your place and then use that position to do all of the things that we're seeing, at least in Britain, and to a lesser extent in America, although they're trying. What do you think of this?
Well, they're doing it in America. I mean, the border's wide open. Immigrants are coming through like gangbusters. I mean, America right now, it is saturated with immigrants right now. They're all coming through. I mean, I live on the border. I live in El Paso, Texas, which is border to Ciudad Juarez. So I see it, and I know that basically, they're what's happening right now, and I get a lot of reports from people in ICE and then the Border Patrol, is that they're just flying out to wherever they want to go. So it looks like it's all peaceful and nice on the border right now. Like, oh, Title 42 ended, and it's all nice, it's all dandy. No, no, no. What's happening is they're flying them out from ports in Mexico into America to whatever city they choose, mainly liberal hellholes, and they're putting them up in hotels and motels, to the point that they're flowing out into the streets, and they're going to start. And what they're going to start doing is integrating them into the suburbs, start building project houses.
That's exactly what's going on here. Yeah. It's the same thing here, actually.
Yeah, no, they're doing it in America too. So it's all part of it. It's all part of this global takeover. They push the immigration into the state. They're coming over by the millions. I mean, this is not, the floodgates are open. you know, and it's so we have a lot, America has a lot of problems, man. Like we it's, when we turn this around, when we finally turn this around, I heard it's going to take decades to fix, decades and decades to fix.
I can certainly
just
believe
from
that.
Biden's presidency.
Yeah, some of the footage I've seen from the southern border where there were hundreds of thousands of people in one crossing point, it's just unbelievable. And that it's been allowed to get to that point makes you think that, well, surely it must be deliberate, because you can't miss 100,000 people turning up at your doorstep, can you? That's unless you've got your eyes completely closed or you deliberately want it.
This is going to be really bad. This is bad. This is really bad.
It's already got to that point.
Even at the El Paso, at the El Paso airport, there was one day I think they're flying them out from bases now. They have different places they're flying them out from. But when I was there, and I made a big stink about it, I was recording it with my phone and everything. They were sleeping on the floors in the airport. They were everywhere. It was disgusting. It was like, this is where our tax dollars are going. You know, like, shame on the mayor. Shame on all the politicians. To me, are nothing more than prostitutes. You know, they're just, it's pimps and hoes, and these people are just prostitutes. I call them, actually on my show, I call them jellyfish. You know, they have no backbone. They just go with the tide. They just go where the money's at. And they allow this to happen. They don't put their foot down. They're not fighting for the people. They're in that position because they can be paid off on anything. You know, so that all needs to change. That all needs to change. So, yeah, I'm very, like you could tell, I'm very passionate about this. I've just switched arenas. I've gone from boxing to this. And this is the most important.
Sure. There was a story recently, and you might find this hard to believe, that we've been putting lots of our illegal migrants into hotels at the taxpayers' expense, which is really quite frustrating because they're quite nice hotels sometimes. And there have been cases where they've burnt them down or trashed them, and we've had to pay for it, the taxpayers. And so they've drafted in this great big barge of loads of houses on the water. And most of the migrants come over here illegally via boat from France, and their legal defense against being put on this great big boat is that they're scared of water. But they crossed the English Channel to get here in the first place, and this is actually going to court and things like that. It's absurd. It's clearly political theater because they don't actually want real solutions. That's what's going on, because you can't take that explanation seriously. By merit of them being here, they would have crossed some water on probably a much smaller boat and less safe boat than the one that they're going to be housed on. But it's got to the point where we've ran out of room to even keep them, not let alone the fact that we're spending almost, I think it was something like a fifth of our defense budget on housing these people who broke into our country illegally in the first place.
People need to see that this is all engineered. This is highly strategic. It's engineered, and this has been in the plans for a very long time. If you don't see it now, I don't know. This is not an accident. It's not just accidentally happening. This has been highly strategized and engineered. This is how they're doing it. So people, if that's not waking up people, I don't know what will. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people choose to be asleep. They're choosing to put their head in the sand. And that's probably what makes me the most angry, is that evil runs amok when good people stand back and do nothing.
You know, that's
how they get through it. That's how they get this done. It's because good people say, let bygones be bygones. It's okay. They're people. You know, you don't put your foot down. And we all need to start putting our foot down.
So talking directly to the people watching at home, what do you think people can do to best put up with this? Obviously, you've already mentioned letting people know about it in the first place. Is there anything else that you encourage people to do?
Well, in America, you got to write your congressman, you got to write your city representatives, your state representatives, you got to get out there and be vocal. You got to make your voice heard. No violence. I always say no violence. We're not at that point yet. But you got to start lifting your voice, researching what's happening, listen to podcasts like this, get your friends to sit down and watch podcasts like this, open your mind, and really start making your voice heard. calling your representatives, writing your representatives. Now, I know that's what we could do in America, because we got to pull this back. We got to do it. We are leading the charge. Don't give up your guns. You cannot give up your guns. You know, you don't let, they take an inch. If they can take an inch, they'll take a mile. And that's what they're planning to do here. So I think we are successfully pulling back the reins. I think a lot of people are waking up in America. A lot of people are. And I hope, I can't say for the rest of the world, because I don't know, but you would know more than me. And that I hope it's happening in the UK and other places like that. I hope you guys are starting to really like, wow, having your aha moment, like we can't allow this to happen anymore. And then you guys need to decide how you're going to take it back for your country. I know what we can do in America, but for you all, I mean, that's up to you all to take back your country.
Mm-hmm. I think certainly people are becoming far more aware of this sort of thing. It's, I think, the pertinent question for a lot of the rest of the world, which seems to be more far along with these insidious schemes, they might have more of a difficult time reversing it. But I also think that because things are getting so much worse elsewhere, America's actually doing quite well relative to some of the rest of the world. It might be a case of the conditions are too bad to ignore. Like, it is getting so expensive to live in Britain, which shouldn't be the case. It's a relatively wealthy country. And this is going to affect ordinary people. You can't ignore that the cost of living being to the point where even having a good paying job means you can't make ends meet, and the taxes that you pay are like half of your income. You know, that's stuff that you just can't ignore. And so these sorts of things, I think everyone is going to notice, and everyone eventually is going to have to push back on, because it's going to get worse and worse. I don't think it's going to get better until it gets worse, more or less. At least for a couple of years, it's going to get worse. And then there's going to be a point.
How much worse are people going to tolerate? I mean,
it's frustrating, isn't it?
It's our fault. It's our fault. It's our fault that the more we let them do this, it's like a bully that takes your lunch money. You know, the more we let them take our lunch money, the more they're going to do it. And then the weaker you get and the stronger the bully gets. So it's really up to people to put their foot down now. Now's the time. Why wait? Why do you want to keep waiting and let them just keep abusing you? You know, that to me makes no sense. It's sad that it's like that. But unfortunately, people are very complacent and stagnant, and they don't want to do anything about it. As long as they're not infringed on in their home, they got their television, they got their microwave, they got their little space. Life is not supposed to be like that. So I mean, these people are taking us for everything we got. We got to put our foot down.
Absolutely. But I think that's all we've more or less got time for. But it has been a pleasure. It's been great to hear from you. I think we're fighting the good fight from different sides of the Atlantic, and
yeah,
I wish you all the best with the good work that you're doing.
I'm trying. People can find me at ninoscorner.tv. Ninoscorner.tv. Go there. That's where I keep all my fringe content. And you go to Nino's Corner on YouTube and Nino Boxer on Twitter. So I hope people come and try to find, you know, look for me. I'm out there. And I really appreciate you having me on your program. You guys are a big program, and I really appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And I've really enjoyed our conversation. So I suppose thank you very much for watching this interview, and goodbye.